everyone. I'm John Melke, and this is Parkside Today. I hope that you're all staying safe and healthy and doing your part to flatten the curve. Today, we're joined by special guests John Antaramian, Mayor of the City of Kenosha, and Randy Hernandez, Kenosha City Administrator. Before we get started, I want to quickly mention that we are recording on Thursday, April 23rd, and the program is broadcast on WIPZ on Tuesday, April 28th, and Sunday, May 3rd. We all know that when it comes to the coronavirus, a lot can change in just a few days, so giving you a heads up on our recording and broadcast schedule. Mayor Antaramian, City Administrator Hernandez, thank you both for making time today.
Not a problem. Glad to do so.
Yep, thanks for having us.
So, unfortunately, COVID-19 has been dominating headlines and conversation for what seems like most of 2020. Today, let's talk a little bit about what Kenosha leadership has been doing to answer the COVID challenge and at the same time keep the city moving forward as best it can in a situation like this. When did the city of Kenosha first begin to think about the what-if scenarios surrounding COVID-19?
Well, we started thinking about it immediately when the information broke about what was going on a countrywide basis and that the pandemic was looking to be activated throughout the country and throughout the world. So we started conversations immediately. But a lot of that has to go back to, as we get started, we have a county health department. The county health department is the main entity that we go through. So what we've been doing is working through the health department as to putting together our decisions, what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, because this has to be done literally on a broad basis. It can't be done by a community. You know, Kenosha by itself can't deal with this. It has to be the whole county,
right,
and including Racine and our surrounding counties. So that's one of the things that we started doing immediately was talking to our neighbors, making sure that all of us had an idea of where we're going to go and what we're going to do. But I don't think anyone was quite prepared for how rapid this thing moved. And so I think all of us got caught a little bit in the sense of on a timeliness, not moving as fast as we may have wanted to, but part of that goes back to federal government and everyone else as to the information we were getting.
Sure, sure. And John, as a person who served in state government, and I'm asking this question because I asked the same question of Corey Mason last week, and by the way, he was very complimentary of the help that you've given him as he's grown into the role of mayor in Racine, and he mentioned that help that you had provided him, guidance. How has the fact that you've worked in state government, has that helped you in terms of the connections and these relationships with other governing bodies around Kenosha?
Well, I think actually, you know, I'd like to say yes if that is a part of it, but in all honesty, whether you're a legislator or not, all the units of government in Kenosha County and Racine County that we have been working with have been understanding and wanting to make sure that we work together and to accomplish what we're supposed to do, which is to protect the public.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, from a communications aspect, from a relationship aspect, I don't think it mattered the background. All of us looked at this very, very seriously on the basis of what can we do to make people safe and what can we do so that we coordinate. Now, coordination doesn't mean we're all going to do the exact same thing, but we all want to make sure we're on the same page as we move forward to make sure that we have the safest opportunity for the public as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And as for Corey, I have to give I cause him trouble right now. He's a good kid. But then again, from my perspective, anyone under 60 is a kid. So he's going to do a fine job in Racine. He's a very, very good mayor, I believe.
Well, I remember asking him fairly early on in after he had been elected mayor, and I said, "What the experience of being a state representative? How did that help prepare you to be a mayor?" And he said, "Not at all." He said, "Just the difference in the two jobs and the in his perspective, it was the almost like the 24/7 aspect of being a mayor that maybe he didn't experience so much as a state representative." And I'm sure that 24/7 applies to you in Kenosha as well, especially these days.
One of the things I always chuckle about is that when people come from legislature to mayor, there is a true difference in what you're doing. You're going from a legislative body who is reviewing and trying to implement where you want things to go, mm-hmm. to someone who now has to administer a community and make sure that everything gets done. It's two very, very different things, and it takes a little bit of getting used to. But right. Like I said, he's going to do a fine job.
And Randy, and maybe this question for you, as the COVID-19 and more so the response by the city of Kenosha kind of begins to unfold, what was the process like in dealing with different city entities such as administrators in the city, fire department, police, things like that?
Well, John, to kind of answer a little bit more of your question before, kind of leads into this one. As the mayor suggested earlier, in terms of how we started and how we learned and how rapidly COVID began to spread and the impact of such, both on employees and residents, early on, I think we call it luck or call it fortunate insight. But once we discovered that COVID obviously exists in Kenosha County and the city of Kenosha, we immediately went to work in securing numerous numbers of new laptop computers, just hypothesizing or estimating that potentially in the future we may have to change the way at which we work. And to this day, we have 100 to 110 of our employees capable of periodically working off-site or, for that matter, working remotely almost on a full-time basis. So that's kind of somewhat what we discovered early on and some of the response. In addition to, obviously, we had the plan for our April vote that had to take place, obviously, throughout the city. So that was another challenge that we had to put in extra measures, and we did so to protect our workers, to protect the volunteers, to protect the employees, and obviously to also protect our constituents, our residents, in voting. We put a lot of extra measures in, and we actually scrambled for a couple weeks to make sure that the designed extra measures were implemented fully across the board for all of our polling places. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that was done up front, John. That's just touching on only a couple of many COVID-19-related adjustments that we had to make early on. Not to mention, as we're making the COVID-19 adjustments, the city still had to operate, and we still have to operate. Right. So we've got a lot of developments that are continuing. Mm-hmm. We have the day-to-day activities. We have streets. We have waste. We've made numerous modifications relative to distancing, mm-hmm. Relative to wash, relative to where do we wear masks, where is it required. And clearly we have done a lot in the field to make sure that people are maintaining those distances and not necessarily working closely or working together. We've even used, as an example, two vehicles to pick up trash. One follows and one drives the primary unit. Yeah. So there's a lot of adjustments that we've made to make sure that we're keeping the residents safe, the employees safe, and then still running the city, so to speak, in operation.
I mean, that was one of the interesting things, and I forget the exact day that the story ran on, I think on TMJ, where they were talking about the increase in the amount of waste that needs to be collected in the city, that for various reasons, for people being at home more and not going out to eat, or they're at home and they start going through stuff to say, oh, I'm going to throw this away and do my spring cleaning, and the work that your city employees, the added work that they have to do just because that situation has changed.
We're up 30% on waste compared to what we were prior to COVID-19 and it increasing.
Wow.
Collection.
And how is the city, how do you deal with that when you start to see that this is probably something that maybe you didn't expect to see, or maybe you didn't see that coming right away? How did you deal with that? Or how are you dealing with it?
Adapt. You change how you do things. And you have only so many people that you have at this point in time. You change whatever you need to change to make sure that we get things done we have to get done. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've done. The workforce, and I say this because I don't think they get enough credit, the workforce in Kenosha that work for the city, the water utility, the museums, the libraries, all of them are remarkable people. And they step up when they needed to.
Mayor Antaramian, tell me about the work that that your city employees are doing, and certainly in some cases, I would say that it's work that probably in the regular in kind of regular time, it may be taken for granted, but not so much with the way things are now.
Well, we're very fortunate. We have an excellent workforce, and that workforce has been willing to be mobile and do the things we need to get done when we need to get it done. So you may have people from libraries and museums working in the clerk's office. You may have other individuals working throughout the city as needed mm-hmm. because of the situation that we're facing. So everybody has chipped in, and that's how we get through some of the problems that you have or the issues you have, because things change. And not everything's going to be worked the same way it used to work last summer, because we're in different situations with waste and everything else that need to be modified.
Right.
And then you've got police and fire that are just, you know, constantly there and doing what they need to do. So we're fortunate. Good workforce, and they've been willing to modify their activities and their jobs without any problem at all. When we need help, they've volunteered. I'm very, very proud of our city employees.
And well, you should be. I know that was one of the sentiments from Mayor Mason as well, that you know, the people who are going out there each day and you know, putting their own safety on the line, they deserve a lot of credit for helping the cities to keep moving. We're talking with Kenosha Mayor John Antaramian and with Randy Hernandez, Kenosha City Administrator. Recently, Governor Tony Evers announced the Badger Bounce Back. Plan to reopen the state given certain gating criteria, and there are some encouraging signs nationwide. How is the city looking at how it sees the process of being able to begin reopening?
Well, I think that you have to understand, as we talked about earlier, when we reopen, it's not just the city, it's going to be Kenosha County mm-hmm. And the surrounding areas also, because you just, one entity is not going to be able to open by itself and think that this is going to work. It won't. Mm-hmm. So what we've been doing is coordinating with the health department, which is, again, the county health department, which is the focal point on the process. So we've been working with them, and as we put together conversations with the health department, with the county exec, with the other municipal governments throughout, we start talking about how we're going to do some things. And part of it, and a lot of it, depends on the science of the virus. And that is, you know, a lot of people are talking about the stay-at-home order that's in place at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
The issue at the end is going to be not necessarily the stay-at-home order itself, but the parameters that have been put on us, in the sense of you need to have 14 days of a downtrend in this virus before you can open. So you could be, you know, we could go to May 26th and still not have 14-day downtrend.
Right.
Which means that you're still going to be having things implemented. So it really does play on the science. And to deal with this issue, the first thing that has to happen is we need to get to that downtrend.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that needs to happen is we need to be able to, once we get this under control and we get into later in the year, because our concern is this coming back, we need to make sure that we have the ability to test. Testing is our way out of this situation.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be able to find out if someone has it, test it, and then isolate that individual for the time being that they need to be isolated so that we can get through the disease and keep on testing so we can keep everything open and keep things moving. But without the testing, it's going to be extremely difficult for us to do that. So the issues for us are going to be, is number one, getting through so we have a downside to the virus.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is going to be testing. And then number three is the vaccine. Those are the three legs to the stool that you need to make sure this works.
Sure, sure. And it seems like the good news there is that it does seem like the more opportunities for testing are coming along. That there's some of these in-home tests that they've announced recently. Now they're limiting these to some of the first responders and those folks. But as you see that progress, you have to believe that the opportunity for widespread testing is not that far into the future. Would you agree?
I wish you were right. I'm a little more concerned that we're not moving fast enough on the mm-hmm. testing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would feel better if I could see the federal government moving a little faster and being more supportive of the local government when it comes to testing. So I think that's a huge issue that still needs to be resolved, and it's going to take some time.
Sure, sure. I want to turn the conversation a little bit to some of the development plans that the city of Kenosha has announced recently. And can you give us an update on where those plans are and the different things that are going on in the city of Kenosha right now?
Why don't I turn that a little over to Randy on some of these, because he's the one who's been working the most with the economic development aspects.
Okay.
Well, let's start first potentially. Let's move downtown and then potentially to the Chrysler site. But let's start first with the very active developments now, where we're looking to provide occupancy permitting and so forth. We have very active right now, Logistics 94 along I-94, where Amazon wants to occupy approximately 800,000 square foot facility. That's looking like sometime in May, the latest in June, where we're going to have occupancy permits submitted. We were just on the phone with them this morning with city development, with public works, with inspections, and that's all continuing to move forward. So that large building everyone sees when they drive north and south, just a little bit north of 158 and I-94, that's mm-hmm. going to be occupied and operating very quickly.
Okay.
In addition to that, there are a few other developments in the queue, some very close to I-94, others in other areas. But those are all extremely active. Those we know probably another three or four pretty major opportunities that are continuing to move forward as well. You'll see a lot more news come out with respect to other developments on the industrial and commercial side.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then let's move. And now for the downtown development, the mayor's vision, obviously, which has been public for a while and put in the newspapers, for the entire downtown to begin moving into a development, which is going to first involve the Brindisi, which is a apartment complex and condos just north of the municipal building where we're located now on that empty plot A, we call it.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we're looking to develop the new Performing Arts Center. We're looking to develop a municipal building, mm-hmm. and then surrounding area with other developments. Between where the current municipal building is and the lakefront, including new park area, new hangout areas, and new walk areas, not to mention a more convenient restaurant and boutique retail at the base level of all of these facilities. So the entire downtown is going to get redeveloped, and that's probably going to be, you'll see a lot of activity here within the next 6 to 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then that'll continue to move forward at least for the next 5 to 8 years, maybe 10. But things will continue to move forward in that respect. The Chrysler site. I'm sorry, John, do you have a question?
No, I was just going to say that's it. You know, those are all exciting opportunities for sure. And that shows the really what's been a very positive and rapid growth in southeastern Wisconsin.
Yeah, it sure does. Then the vision, again, for the Chrysler site is to really begin leveraging more of innovation, entrepreneurship, and allowing that site to grow in a way that's just a little bit different than the traditional methods which I started this conversation out. And that is to bring in Tier 1, Tier 2 universities and development. This is something that's being worked on very closely as well with our local universities
mm-hmm.
and local educational institutions. I know you're well aware of some of this because it was presented to the faculty and all the administration, including Chancellor Ford.
Sure.
At Parkside.
Sure.
We have Parkside involved.
Mm-hmm.
We have Carthage. We have Gateway Tech, all involved in this process, in addition to other potential Tier 1 research universities throughout the country. And that's going to involve biotech and whatever other new and upcoming technologies we see potentially more on the computer tech and information tech side, not to mention AI. So there's a lot of work being done in that respect. And for all intents and purposes, that site is nearly shovel ready because of all the work that was done prior to me coming to here as the administrator
mm-hmm.
In the last 3 to 4 years and cleaning up the ex-Chrysler site.
And that's another, certainly that part of the city is another area where talking about bringing people more, I don't want to say just to the downtown area, but more into the central city, that innovation center plan has the, is something that would certainly bring people more into the central city of Kenosha, I would assume.
Yes, and actually when you look at the location and the type of development that we wish to do, you're basically creating a new excitement and opportunity in three neighborhoods. And so it will impact all those neighborhoods in a very positive way. And going to the concept of walk to work, going to the concept of young entrepreneurs being able to work in a location and create and develop new things. It's just, I think, it's going to create a wonderful opportunity for the whole uptown area, Columbus Park area, the whole neighborhood, the McKinley neighborhood. All those neighborhoods will be impacted in a very positive way.
Sorry.
And what are some of the when you look at that area, and it's certainly bordering right on the uptown Kenosha area, and that's another place where development and ideas to revitalize that area are in the works. And can you talk to that a little bit?
Sure. One of the things I've always felt very strongly about are our neighborhoods. And the reality is that a community is only as strong as its weakest neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's important for us to get into the neighborhoods, make sure that we have quality housing, make sure that we have infrastructure, make sure that there's opportunities for people to improve themselves. That is what needs to happen. Make sure there are opportunities for young people, for educational purposes,
right,
for activities. All those things are things that we need to make sure happen in our neighborhoods. And so that is one of the reasons we've been doing a lot of the things we've been doing with our summer programs with young people, creating situations where it's safe for them to go play games, read, work on computers, do any number of things that are not just educational, but enjoyment also in a combination, including learning how to play chess, which is always my favorite thing to watch kids do.
I always think that I tried learning that a number of times, and I think I could know that you sort of move the king in like an L shape or something. That might be about as much as I know about.
Yeah, you got the wrong piece.
Oh, okay. Well, good thing I'm not playing chess right at the moment.
Your knight is the one you can move in an L shape.
The knight. That's what I knew it had like that. Yeah, that shape. The knight is the one, not the king, right?
I'm going to worry about you now about playing chess.
Another topic that is unfortunately maybe getting pushed aside because of the news around COVID is that the city, the county, all of Wisconsin is involved with the 2020 census and the importance of getting people to to be counted, and what does that initiative mean to the city of Kenosha?
Well, all the formulas that have come from the federal government are based off the census.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't have a proper census, you have a problem with, number one, the financial aspects of what the federal government gives us in community development block grants, in home programs, any of the different programs that are out there. That's one piece of it. But a bigger piece, which I sometimes think gets forgotten, is that's what determines our voting. The number of people determine who, if you undercount, then the districts are not created correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for us to make sure that we have the proper count within a community so that everybody is counted, because the federal congressional districts are based off the census. You've got the state assembly and senates are based off the census. If you do not have proper numbers there, the one person, one vote concept doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really very important for people to get out and sign up on the census.
Sure. And because I'm a part of the Complete Census Committee, I know that Catherine Marks has been putting in a great deal of effort to work on different initiatives to help help get areas counted, to work with the people who are on the committee to, you know, to make sure that we're helping promote. She does an excellent job for the city.
Yes, she does. And she is, for people who don't know, the lead for the city on the census. So she has been very, very good and very helpful. And I think we have done fairly well as a state and a community based off of the work that she's done.
I think the statistic I heard today, because it's a little bit of an odd position, working at Parkside, where I'm on the Kenosha Complete Census Committee, I'm on the Racine Complete Census Committee. So, you know, sort of working both communities. But, you know, it is, as you said, it's an extremely extremely important project to get that count right. And I think they said that today that that Minnesota and Wisconsin were running like 1 and 2 in the country doing well. So that's pretty good. Anything else that we haven't talked about today that you'd like to bring up for our listeners or to get out to the community?
Yeah, just and it becomes, you know, as things go, this is not really important in the sense of where we are today with the things that are going on. But I think it is important for people to remember there is a huge amount of infrastructure work going on in the city, whether it's going to be roads, whether it's a lakefront. It's just a lot. So people need to be careful driving. Slow down, please. I think that's been one of the biggest problems we've had. But there is a huge amount of infrastructure work that started and will continue for the rest of this year. And so I think that is important. I think people need to see that we are getting things done on that basis also.
Great. Well, I appreciate you both taking the time. We've been talking with Kenosha Mayor John Antaramian and Kenosha City Administrator Randy Hernandez. John and Randy, thank you very much. To hear past editions of Parkside Today, please visit uwp.edu/parksidetoday. Thanks for listening, everyone.